Well, good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Today is the 28th day of May 2020. Heroes Day, National Heroes Day, and certainly this is one that we will not forget in a hurry. Heroes Day is normally a day of major celebrations across Barbados where we reflect on the contributions that have been made by some great men and women of the last century, I should say. Though Bassa goes back centuries, not century. So we pay tribute to them today, but unfortunately we have to pay tribute to them today virtually, which makes it certainly a very different day, the first time in our history that we will have had this opportunity to celebrate with them in this way. But nonetheless, it is Heroes Day, and we need to spend a day in some amount of quiet reflection on the heroes that have passed. My name is Peter Wickham, of course, and I'm here with John Stout. We are here until 2 p.m. Special thanks to Cashy for taking us through the morning with the introduction of his virtual bus ride, which seems to be a whole lot of fun. I remember a similar bus ride in another place many years ago, and that used to be a whole lot of fun on afternoons. So I'm happy that he has kept the tradition alive, and also that people have responded so well, and certainly I would want to wish all of you who are participating virtually or otherwise a great day. My apologies, I'm having some challenges with the headphones. Hopefully you're able to hear me nonetheless. So yeah, today is the 28th of May. This is National Heroes Day. We're having a standard program. I've asked Mr. Norville from the RSPCA, Inspector Wayne Norville from the RSPCA, to join us at some point in time during the day. He tells me that around midday will probably be the best time for him to chat with us about this whole question of animal cruelty. One of my passions relates to matters pertaining to animals. I think, as you know, I am a vegetarian, and part of that is a commitment I have to not killing animals because I believe that they are our friends. So I want to speak to him. I was particularly disturbed by a video that has been circulating on social media of a monkey being burned. We have a peculiar challenge in Barbados where the very active monkey population presents us with a nuisance from time to time. And those of us who are disturbed by this nuisance have to balance our passion for maintaining crops and for agriculture and so on against this whole issue of animal cruelty. I am not the rabid variety of animal rights activists, because I do believe that there are occasions that animals need to be euthanized. However, there's a way that one can do this thing to avoid the level of cruelty that we saw depicted in the video. So I look forward to speaking with Inspector Norville, not only about that, but generally about issues relating to animal cruelty in Barbados, hopefully around midday. In the meantime, however, okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me apologize for that slight technical interruption. I was having some challenges with the headphones, and I just wanted to be sure that I could hear myself and that you could hear me. We have a partial solution, which we will hopefully rectify when we have the first break, so we can continue the program. And again, my apologies for the technical glitch. Yeah, as I was saying, when we broke today, I wanted to reflect a bit on this whole question of animal cruelty. So Inspector Wayne Norville will join us in that regard. This is National Heroes Day, as I was saying. I have given reflections regarding heroes on so many occasions. I thought that on today's occasion, I could probably skip those reflections, because ultimately, you know, it's the same issue that you are presented with almost every time. Heroism has a lot to do with opportunities that are presented to persons to advance a particular cause. And I also feel it is important when we do this to pay tribute to the unsung heroes, you know, the nurse that goes to work in a condition like this, the cleaner who goes to work under these conditions, the person who is driving the bus or the public service vehicle who doesn't have the benefit of the accolades that are given to the others, but certainly has to go through the challenges of ensuring that people are able to get to their places of employment. The farmers are no heroes. Many of them are producing produce. One of the good things about this situation is that I have noticed the production of food, and certainly local produce, provisions, is pretty much in abundance. And there are people popping up all over the places selling food. This is a wonderful thing. Local produce, as I understand it. And certainly those people are also heroes because they're ensuring that the nation is fed and watered, and they're taking advantage of the opportunities that are presented to them. And these are the heroes that we also need to remember during the course of today. Today is the birthday of Dr. George Brathwaite, not necessarily a hero, but certainly George is one of my better students, one of the persons whom I have taught, in whom I am well pleased. So George is slightly older than I am today, so he's more than 50. We wouldn't specify the age, but Dr. Brathwaite, I want to congratulate you on the attainment of this important achievement. You have chosen a good day to have a birthday, which is the 28th of May. You share a birthday with Sir Grantley Adams, one of our first national heroes, and you share his birthday. So best wishes to Dr. Brathwaite. One of the things I wanted to reflect on very quickly before we go to the calls relates to this whole question of salary cuts for persons who are in government. And there's been rumors about salary cuts. The opposition has been saying that ministers need to cut salaries, that the size of the cabinet needs to be cut. It is rumored that in St. Lucia, the Prime Minister has taken a 100% pay cut, which means he's now working for free. And in Nevis, the Premier of Nevis has taken a 100% salary cut in his post as Premier. Of course, Premier Brantley works for two salaries. He is in that fortunate group, so he has now decided to work for just one. And that is certainly a noble thing for him to do under the circumstances. And then there are other islands where we've heard of persons taking salary cuts under the circumstances. And the question was asked to me today, you know, how do I feel about that regarding Barbados? And look, I was asked this question on Observer Radio recently pertaining to Antigua and Barbuda. And I made a point, which I'm happy to make here, is that I don't think that that type of grandstanding has any role in this environment. Certainly, there are people in this world who can do without a salary. So the Prime Minister of St. Lucia is in a position to do that, and I would say all well for him. Similarly, the Premier of Nevis, similarly, you know, that is good if you are in a position to relinquish your salary. But I do not believe it is reasonable to have an expectation on anyone's part that they should be able to match that or do the same thing. This is a time when politicians are working harder than ever, if they are good politicians. This is a time when politicians are being called upon to be in their constituency. One member of parliament I spoke to recently told me that he spent, since this crisis started, $50,000 in 1 week feeding people. It's buying produce, buying food, cooking food, and the price tag is significant. When you think that $50,000 is usually half a year's salary for some people, it is hard to say to a politician, you need to call on your own resources to do that type of thing, but then we're going to cut your salary by any percentage. And as I said, this is a time when most members of parliament who are any use are walking around doing the same kinds of things. I mean, in my own personal capacity, I have been called on to assist people, which is fine. And I'm saying that I am not a politician. And I would imagine that the calls that have been coming through to the politicians have been numerous and been heavy. And when a person calls you and asks you for a meal, it's a hard response to say, no, you can't. You basically have to help. And certainly the politicians I have spoken to have said that people are not calling asking for credit for their cell phone. They're not asking for those kinds of things anymore. They're asking for food. And when a person calls and says, look, I have nothing in the house to eat. As someone called me on Easter Sunday and said, how do you say no to a person like that? And in an environment like that, it is difficult to talk about cutting cabinet, cutting MPs, cutting salaries, because ultimately a lot of that money, and certainly over and above what they're being paid, is going out to help some of the same people. So I don't support it. I don't think it has any role. I think it is the kind of grandstanding the opposition speak of in situations when they don't have the luxury, or should I say they have the luxury of not being called upon in those kinds of ways. So I don't support it. I don't think there's any basis for it. If there are people who are in a position to do that financially, fine. But I think the vast majority of members of parliament now are having their own resources being tapped so heavily, it's difficult for us to contemplate such a thing. Anyhow, so let's get to the calls. 434-1790, those are the numbers you can call. You can also, we have several lines, of course, on 434-1790. You can also chat with me, WhatsApp, 266-IVOB. Yeah, my email address is peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you during the course of this program using that number, that email. Okay, so this is down to brass tacks, 434-1790. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Hi, morning. Hi, Glenn. How are you doing?
Hi,
Happy
Glenn.
Heroes Day to you.
Same to you, my man. Good.
Thank you.
Glad to talk to you. I want to talk to you about this National Heroes Day, but
sure.
Probably from a different perspective. I think that circumstances somehow beyond our control and not of our own making has brought a confluence of events. You're celebration of established heroes, the 10 heroes named in 1998, and we are also, to me, watching the emergence of a different type of hero of Barbados as regard the fight against against COVID-19. And therefore, I think it makes this day, National Heroes Day, even more significant. Because when we were celebrating the past, we are also celebrating the present and the future, and the people who are seeking to protect and safeguard our future. But in that regard, therefore, I hope that what we do for the emerging heroes will be more than what we have done for the national heroes. Let me see what I mean. The 10 national heroes were named in 1998. There's a nice book about them called For Love of Country. There were snippets done on nice short features done on radio and TV about them. I think Hilary Becker's like the number of plays on some of them, probably four of them, I think, if I can remember. But what my problem is that we have not, and I was part of the government in 1998 when they were established. We have not been able to translate that governmental institutionalization of heroes into the popular culture where they are drafted into music and art and drama and poems and whatnot. That's how the societies, how the cultures keep their heroes alive and vibrant and meaningful to people, by mentioning them in plays, by, you know, having them as part of the dialogue in a movie or something like that. But I think that is where we fall down. And I think that, I like I said, the artistic community has not seized that opportunity to do that. I think that was a perfect opportunity for them to update, even 22 years after. No real new meaningful work has come about the National Heroes of Barbados. And I think that's an area that is ripe for development and artistic exploration, especially at a time when there's no National Heroes, when there's no crop over. People could see that as a way of making do, of redressing the imbalance in that regard. And I think also that when we come to present day hero. Oh, let me for example too. Mm-hmm. You know there was this Santi Manate ditty that has been going making the rounds around Capitol.
You said there has been what making the rounds?
Ditty is a short song. Usually humorous. You know, you've not heard that voice, that audio about people singing about coronavirus and whatnot?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I thought the most meaningful one was, have you heard the one done by Colin Spencer?
I did, yeah. That was one of the first, no?
Huh?
I thought it was one of the first.
I think he's the latest.
He's the latest, okay.
Yeah, he came out there before, so a couple of days ago. But to me, that was more meaningful treatment of it than really making a point, turning it into a social commentary, reflecting the state of affairs, and not just, mouthing words, pleasantries that fit into the rhythm of the whatnot. So that's what I'm talking about. Barbie and RT seeking to do more with their talents. And I've also observed, not now, but in the past, that when we have major national occasions, somebody had a state or had a government or somebody prominent dies, we have no cultural works to revert to, basically. Say music, for example, which creates the best mood ever. It was the best mood stimulus in music. We always have to resort to European music that's been established already. I mean, it's good music, as well, but still, we are missing of those expressions of our inner being that express, that display our thoughts, our feelings, our deep reserves of respect or love or thing. And I think we need to we need like a community college with so many talented musicians around. And I agree that we have a lot of talent in Ireland, but I think we have to start thinking in those terms. So we think long term. So when somebody dies and somebody prominent, whoever it might be, whatever position, that we can play that music and help to create the Barbadian mood and not have to resort to. I think you and mom spent time and you spent time in Europe. You know how these things are done abroad. And I think that is an area that we could seek to emulate for the benefit of our cultural society. But I also want to talk about the emerging heroes, the frontline workers.
Sure.
I've already said that I think they should be given a bonus. Each person should be given a financial bonus, not just pleasantries and words and commendations, but I think they should be rewarded a bonus. I think the bonus should be equal across the board. Everybody should get the same thing as long as you work, performing crucial jobs at this time of the year, especially for government. And I would like it to be tax-free. So it means something to them. But above that, I would like to, that at the end of the day, they are remembered for more than just names mentioned in passing. I think they should be given what I'm proposing to call the Defender of Barbados Award, the Defender of Barbados, a medallion or something, which will represent, which can be passed on to future generations. Because we don't know what future generations or historians or observers say about this era, about this event and all that. We don't know how the society will change. And I think, therefore, we should look for the best possible way, the most enduring way to recognize these persons. More just transient things that you mentioned, newspaper, it's on TV, etc. We want that these people can be heroes forever to their families and to future generations.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to hear what you think of some of that.
No, I don't have a problem with it. I honestly expect that when this whole crisis passes, that there will be some special way that we reflect not only on the nurses and doctors and the frontline workers, as you call them, but also the management of the crisis. And there may very well be opportunity for tributes later.
So. Even people in the private sector who pay no standard or a collective national effort, but they must not want to be. Because I tell you what, did you see what happened with the people who were being made community heroes with the gathering? That was a very well done. I would want it to be just be done and not done meaningfully and properly, so that the people have the respect and the enduring respect of the country, them and future generations that they deserve.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much, Peter.
All right, Glenn, thanks a lot for calling. Good to hear you, and happy Heroes Day to you. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a habit of telling some callers they're talking foolishness.
I do? I don't know if I've told you that recently, though, which is probably meaning that you haven't been talking foolishness recently.
I know. What you spoke about, there's no politicians, any man or all that.
You think it's foolishness?
I can talk to that, but there's something more important I want to talk about, right?
All right.
And this is...
Mr. P, let me just make it very clear, because in another place there has been some concern about one of the moderators or an announcer attacking a thing. If I tell you that I think you're talking foolishness, please do not see this as an indication that I do not believe you have the right to talk foolishness.
But as
a person who has taught some foolishness, sometimes you do, and I suspect I do also. I think that we both have the right to talk foolishness. So
to you know who's thought foolishness that you don't tell their thought foolishness?
Who?
This thoughts man. I don't want to keep on talking.
But you don't talk foolishness much. Not as much as you for sure.
Listen me carefully. They want to keep on talking. A lot of people say they don't listen to you, but I can listen to it. Because if they're listening to him, I went up for already step by that. Jamaica got over 500. And even when the man was proving wrong, you say, oh, he hit my star come. Making and the mistake he made himself, Jamaica got more, is bigger than Barbados, so they should have got more. He was scoring things on making the government look good. He came on national radio telling on truth. And you know what I don't like about him? When he's wrong, don't ever apologize. At least I do. I do. To whoever.
But Jamaica has one of the lowest rates of infection in the Caribbean, though. Per population.
Right? They've got over 300 now. But what I'm saying...
I know, but the point is they have over 300, but bear in mind the population is what, 2 million?
I don't know.
Right, it is. What? It is, yeah. The problem that we have in Barbados is that we only have like, what, 70-something, but ultimately we only have a population of 250,000. So if you look at it as a rate, Barbados is pretty high up in terms of the rate per thousand. If you look at it, if you look at it as if you look at it as a rate per just the overall number, Jamaica is among the highest overall.
Are you talking the way I would understand, mm-hmm. and the way people like me, the thought producers would understand, mm-hmm. right? The stats man, when he's reading from a script, he don't ever make a mistake. But when it comes to, when he don't have that piece of paper, goes to pieces. Keep on talking, brother. I want you to keep on talking because I make my own fire.
So what is he telling me today now?
No. Before I get back to real talk, open the right ones to sign in first. You and Sandy have this habit of talking about proper English.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about proper English?
Well, if I'm accused you wrongfully, I'm sorry, okay?
You mean Sandy, not me?
Sandy.
Sandy, right? Talking about proper English.
Yeah. Now, I heard a call yesterday, and these things just scare me, you know. Not say the way he exactly said it, but people need to talk proper English. Now, when I talk about English, people say it's universal. But what I forget to mention is how it became universal. People invading people's countries, just like Christianity, and forcing their beliefs and doctrines on people. And if you refuse to comply, they kill you. Look at the Catholic and the Protestants in England. Killing one another for years. They're supposed to be Christians here. Right? But they are talking about a belief. Right? I when I hear about culture, but before we get to that, there's another thing I want to talk about before you forget.
But you got to be quick though, Mr. P, because...
Now you got to talk about this just a second call again, my breath. Now. I don't want to beg, we're begging for a little breath today. People talk how Selassie was taken to a dead in a slave plot and his grave is no party burying all that. That is a blatant lie. That man did so much to Ethiopia. So much. Modernized in Ethiopia. You know the event here in April of 1966 to 21, the 21st of April? You ever know that?
I had heard so, yeah.
The whole idea is to keep we as black people foolish. That's the whole idea. No, I'm saying they're not God. But I am not looking at the God that the white man portrayed for me. No way. Even the word Jah that was in the Bible in Psalm 68, verse 4, they take it out. They are trying hard for us not to know the truth. And I want to tell the Minister of Culture this too. Culture is not just going by the stage I'm working at. It's about school.
It's about that too, though.
Yeah.
The working up is an important part of culture and expression.
If the white man had the rhythm that we black people got, it won't be seen as vulgar.
But you said that, but I don't think I ever see you working up. I never see you calypso on a hands up.
I'm trying to distract me.
I ain't distracting you by just saying if walking up is part of the culture, I never saw you as in that cultural expression.
I see me walking up. I go and I watch women walking up.
But you don't walk up. You never walk up.
My man, never talk. Because you don't want to. It's about what you eat. It's the way you dress.
Okay, fair enough.
And most importantly, it's culture of the mind.
Right. But walking up is part of that too.
I don't hear nobody telling a German speak proper English. Mm. I don't hear anybody telling a Russian speak proper English. Even the English that live in the countryside, I don't hear them telling them speak proper English. But they want a conditional mind. Yeah. I would agree with you, Vin. It's the 11 plus because getting in a classroom and doing something on paper doesn't mean that you know anything.
Right.
Because an XP it should be on the radar because a lot of people's future is
Mr. P, we're gonna have to bring the conversation to a close though. So what's the parting shot you have for me today?
Parting shot is right. This politician is spending $50,000 now. Vane, And you'll say that. You said it shouldn't cut the cabinet?
It should, yes, that's what I said.
It shouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Frandez Stewart had 17. You were among those who said it was too much.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have COVID-19. We didn't have COVID-19 all the way it started here. Mm-hmm. But as a politician, spend $50,000, no, so what? So what?
And okay.
You know what about me?
That's fair enough. I mean, you said it, and a lot of people have said it. So that's your position, that you think the cabinet should be cut. No, and I accept that is your position. It is one with which I disagree, but nonetheless, that's your view. So we're going to have to run, Mr. P. Down the brass tacks, three quick things. One, today is the 28th of April, not the 28th of May. My apologies. The 28th of May has a special significance for two reasons. Of course, you would recall that was the 1986 landslide, which was the landslide of all landslides for me, since it was the first time that I actually voted. And then there was the 28th of May. So I always get mixed up. It is also the birthday of one of my best friends, David. He's on the 28th of May as well. Ironically, never been a big fan of the Democratic Labour Party, but nonetheless, he was born on the day that they triumphed. So I get mixed up with the 28th of May because this is the day I look forward to for those two reasons. Nonetheless, it is the 28th of April, so my apologies if I misled anyone, and today is National Heroes Day, the 28th of April. Also, thanks to Smiley for sending me. The population of Jamaica is 2.9 million, not 2 million, it's 2.9 million, which would mean that the 300 infection rate in Jamaica is actually quite low if you look at the population of 2.9 million. Barbados is I think, approaching 270,000. So if you look at 300 and 2.9 million versus 75 or 70, whatever it is, in a population of 270,000, you understand the whole question of rates. It's not hard to grasp. That is ultimately the way it is. And yeah, so that's it. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Greetings and salutations to your good self.
Thank you.
It is said, one should always give credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
The Honorable Sancho Bartos's incredible leadership in the Prime Minister's absence cannot be faulted. It is biblically said, like father, like son. But politically speaking, I have to say, like daddy, like daughter. Brady, the daddy. Sancho, the daughter. A deputy is essential. Minister Bradshaw, as Minister of Education, is fully aware the only known cure for ignorance is education. Time invested in improving ourselves cuts down on time wasted in disapproving of others. Let me wish former minister in government, Mr. Delisle Bradshaw, a belated happy birthday. Coincidentally, the same day as founders their last Sunday, April the 26th, 2020. Mr. Wickham, sir.
Sir.
You being so articulate, it's appropriate for me to say, as a layman, for me to talk about economics would be like a monkey handling a gun. Therefore, I would try to avoid dealing with things which I deem too rich for my blood this morning. Know how to listen, and you will profit even from those who talk badly. Then former Prime Minister, the Right Honourable Sir Lloyd Erskine Stanford, introduced the 8% price cut. He was taken to task. I said at the time, if it was his vision that the cut was going to stop the devaluation of our dollar, I see nothing wrong with the 8% cut. I was taken to task, causing me to pen an article to the print media, saying that when our political history is written, Prime Minister Stanford would go down as one of the good Prime Ministers of Barbados. The Right Honourable Professor Owen Arthur is on record as to say, history would record that at the end of the day, Erskine Sanford would realize that he had no enemies, but he was disliked by his friends. In an earlier contribution to this program, I said that this coronavirus virus is causing more damage to world economies than the atomic bomb and the hydrogen bomb. And the Honorable Mayor of Moore Motley QC MP administration has to lead from in front. And I shall add that more to what I had previously said, due to the fact at present there is a large welfare and unemployment benefit on the increase. Any fact facing is not as important as our attitude towards it. For that determines our success or failure. In action breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. Without doubt, the whole country has confidence in our Prime Minister, the Honourable Mayor Moore Motley QC MP. And I take this opportunity to suggest to our political leader and Prime Minister to revisit the size of the cabinet, as she is getting very near to her second year of astute leadership. I'd like to suggest the following, sir. I'd like to see only one Minister of Public Transport and Work, one Minister at National Housing, one Minister at Foreign Affairs. The Attorney General take over the Ministry of Home Affairs. The blue economy should be responsible for agriculture and maritime affairs. And six, a minister from the Ministry of Finance should embrace youth and community empowerment, creative economy, culture and sport. Those acts should take it into good faith. You don't vote for a minister. The late Joe Edgell has proven that you do not have to be a cabinet minister to get things done. His ambition during his political vacation were to represent people of his constituency with these languages. Sharing, caring, and giving.
Okay.
Thank you for your patience, sir.
Thank you so much, sir. Good to hear from you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. How are you doing?
Mr. Wickham.
Yes. Yes, sir.
This is your friend, Sutherland.
Hey, Sutherland. How are you going? It's good to hear you. Happy Heroes Day to you, sir.
I am peaceful. You opened up this morning with something. I want to compliment the folks at VOB for how they're operating in this time of distress.
We'll be trying to keep it together.
Yeah. And Mr. Johnson, I want to ask you, how is Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Johnson is good. He's been on holiday. I believe his holiday continues for a while now, but he's also self-isolating. As you know, he has some health challenges.
I want you to tell him that.
Require.
His friend.
Uh-huh.
Tell him that the man that don't know him.
Uh-huh.
Send best wishes to him.
Okay, no problem. I'm sure he's listening. He listens every day, so.
He listens every day.
So I'm sure that he would hear and he'd be happy to know that he's being remembered.
My respect to him.
Yeah.
I come here this morning with love, Peter. Mm-hmm. We have people that call in this program and don't understand why they should call the program to give help. These folks on the front line is human like us. They got a heart, and they get pressure like anybody else. When we come here, have to be talk something good about these people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what you're there for.
I am. I love them. Mm-hmm. I don't care where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened? They're doing something to help these people in Barbados. This is a desperate situation.
Yeah, that's important.
And I hear people calling and talking. Even the journalists, mm-hmm. they're calling and asking questions that ask already.
How are you coping? You're still engaged in a bit of agriculture while you are under lockdown?
Yes.
You still managed to call it together?
Yes. I knew my head. I ain't doing foolishness like the rest. I stay at home. I take my walk in the school. Mm-hmm. Just object me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not on the street.
Mm-hmm.
I take my walk every day. So that's it. What I called to say to you, you put me a good point this morning about cutting the salaries.
Yeah.
These ministers, I could tell you because my son is a minister, and I could tell you how he operates with people. He dealing with people. He ain't dealing with the politics, the political, nothing. He spends money every day, Peter. Spends money every day. And he don't pick out. When he know that something wrong, he try to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. when you're talking about salaries, you kind of get to hit these people, these ministers' salary at this particular time.
Okay, you impact on the ability to help others.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, mm-hmm. Peter. That's what I'm saying, that you wake up with something good this morning.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't want to deal with these people like this. But I come here to wish the Prime Minister good health. I want, you know, when somebody wants something, I want the Prime Minister to get better. Because I know if she get better, this country would be better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This country would be better.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to wish all the doctors on the front line, all the daughters, the doctors and all the nurses on the front line, the best of health, because I know for a fact that they are taking care of the patients with love.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Sutherland. It's good to hear you. You are a person, a senior citizen of this country, and someone who is still very active, and I welcome your contribution to this program anytime you call, because I do like to hear from the seniors, and especially ones that we don't hear from a whole lot. So good to hear you're doing well, and I think your point regarding us recognizing the frontline workers, your point regarding the wishing the Prime Minister well, and also the salaries, all 3 points are very well taken. So thanks again for calling. Down to brass tacks, one of my friends who likes to remain nameless is saying that instead of cutting salaries for public servants, what we should do is tax churches, and that the taxation revenue from churches would come in handy at this point to help the country. That's a very controversial subject. The challenge is that we don't tax other NGOs, and if we're going to tax churches and mosques and temples and so on, then we would also have to tax NGOs that are assembled for similar charitable purposes. So we would be taxing the National Organization of Women and the MISA. We would tax them as well. That creates some challenges. This foundation called me today and she said that she wants to acknowledge the fact that Barbados is at this point in time, in terms of Heroes Day, being led by 3 competent women, the Governor General, Her Excellency, and the Prime Minister, and also the Acting Prime Minister, 3 competent women. And I certainly would want to join this foundation in the fact that I do believe that we are in a very special place in Barbados to have the leadership of the country in the hands of 3 competent women at this stage. I, of course, have always been very much in support of the advancement of women in politics, and I'm happy that at this point in time in 2020, we are at this stage. I do believe that we are certainly well served. The struggle regarding women in politics, however, is still very real. I don't believe it is a battle that has been won. And certainly as we approach the next election, I think that we have to reflect on this whole question of whether or not there has been a victory regarding the glass ceiling in Barbados, whether there are any battles that still need to be fought, and how are those battles defined. Certainly for me, I look at the fact that there are still far too many women dominating the lowest paid professions. So if you look at the gas station attendants, which is a large pool of minimum wage workers, predominantly all of them are women. And that is something that I still continue to worry about. Yes, the population
is dominated by women also, and that there are more women in the population. But certainly the unpaid work, which is the home-based employment in many instances, is still heavily dominated by women, and also the lowest paid professions. So the fact that we do have women at the top is important. And like Miss Foundation, I certainly want to support that. She's also asking about the difference between quarantine and isolation. My understanding is that quarantine is something which is imposed by government, where you are in a center that is managed and controlled and regulated by government. Isolation is something where you more or less agree to a slightly more laxed arrangement, where you can self-isolate at home, or alternatively, you can isolate with a family at home. And that's something that you will not see police standing at your door in that type of situation. While the quarantine that you have, certainly at St. Lucie, there's no option for you to leave and go and come back. While the isolation assumes that you have a certain level of responsibility to not come into contact with others. Down to brass tacks, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Heroes Day to you, man.
Thank you, sir. This stats, man.
Yes.
Are you going? You're getting some early lashes,
not,
man.
Not the lashes, man. I ignore that. That's flyweights, man. I don't even flyweights. Yeah, I don't even flyweights, man.
Yeah.
Let me just compliment the government and the COVID team, the whole COVID team, for an excellent job. Now, it's something slightly that you have not included, though. You said, well, it isn't a simple case of how many cases you have, you know, for population.
Mm-hmm.
It is how well you're doing and you're testing the population.
Agreed.
And your rate per test, that's really the bigger issue. So you're not comparing Jamaica population to Barbados population per se. You got to look and see how many tests are being done in either country. Even last night, the COVID team said that they are doing way more tests than those in the Caribbean. And they said they're doing 4,000 per million, right? Which is very high. So if you look, I pick up this here actually for a while, because they'll be keeping some figures basically on this. Now, the first of the month, right? Like the percentage for tests that we was about over 11%,
mm-hmm.
right? But the last, up to yesterday, you know, we done 1,000. I took away the 33 Trinidadians. I would not include them in the Barbados situation. So when you took away the Trinidadians, 33, you would have done 1,718 tests, right? Now you got 80 cases. Now you get, that's actually 4.6% per case per test. This is excellent because you can see it dropping all the while. It's dropping all the while from over in double digits down to single digits. That's excellent. That's excellent for the excellent going for Barbados. We have, they're doing a lot of testing, and they're doing everything in the correct manner. But I would like to touch slightly on the heroes. I'd like to thank them for the work that they've done for the country. But I'd like to highlight specifically on Sir Granley Adams, the father of democracy in Barbados. I don't think that Sir Granley's contribution to Barbados is really put into real context. When you look,
you don't think so, Statsman?
No, I don't.
Nah, come off it. You don't think it's put into context?
No.
But he's a national hero. I don't think that there's any national hero whose contribution has been put more into context than him, especially as persons like yourself supporting Barbara's Labour Party.
No. This is facts here, no, though.
All right. Like, let me hear you.
Anybody coming into Barbados, right? And they don't know nothing about Barbados. They see like one person that make a contribution to this country. This is him, Barrow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm saying, so this way I'm focusing on Sir Granley's tenor. He took over, he formed a party in 1938, 1 year, right? After you had the record. He also went to the British government and spoke about Barbadian plight economically and socially, which as a result, then they sent down the Moyne Commission to look into the what's happening in Barbados. Significant things happened after that. Now, I'm saying to you, probably I missed something, but when you look at Sir Grantley Adams, he have challenged or changed the dominance of the other racial class. The only person to my mind that wasn't either in prison or actually murdered. You get like people in Barbados all over the world is here, look, Manson Dandalo. He gets thrown into prison for 27 years, right? Some of them get murdered, some of them get in prison. You had Malcolm X, you had even Clement Pien here in prison, you had Martin Luther King. All of these guys was fighting to break the dominance of the other class or other race. None of them did it like Sir Grantley, and he was before most of them. He did it unscathed, and he did it successfully. When you look at his political career, he has basically enacted and set out with the fashioning of Barbados. If you look back, you can see about 30 classic examples that where he implemented systems in the country, right? That is unprecedented among anybody, among many people in the political sphere in Barbados. We don't give him enough credit.
I disagree with you that we don't give him enough credit. I do feel that there are few leaders that have received more credit than him. And I am listening to your contribution, and I'm struggling to identify the difference between what you're saying now and what has been said on so many occasions. My thing with Grantley Adams is that I do not deny the excellent contribution that Grantley Adams has made. The point I was making earlier, though, when I talked about context, is that the leaders have all taken advantage of opportunities that have been presented to them. And certainly Sir Grantley had the opportunity to be called upon to go up to London to represent on behalf of Barbadians, largely because Sir Grantley Adams was one of few intellectuals at that time that had the necessary academic training and background. I mean, he was black, he was a lawyer. In the days when there were few black lawyers knocking around, and he had the necessary ability, having studied in the United Kingdom and been called to the bar, to be able to articulate on behalf of a mass of persons that were largely uneducated. Now, I am not saying that there's anything wrong with what you're saying, up to the point where you say that you don't believe that he's been given his just reward, because the fact that he's being recognized as a national hero, the fact that we have National Heroes Day on his birthday, no, to me, it speaks volumes. Hold on a second. There are other heroes who, what's the name of the lady who was
Sarah
the
Angel.
Heroine?
Hmm? Sarah Angel.
Right, Sarah Angel. Whose contribution is very different. Sarah Angel didn't have the opportunities that he had to engage politically, but nonetheless, she gave of herself regarding her faith.
She did well.
So that's my point. And I think that heroism has to be looked at in the context of what opportunities did the person have to contribute and what opportunity did they take to make that contribution. And when you start to weigh and say, my hero is better than your hero, it also has a lot to do with the fact that heroes had opportunities. Bustle, who was the first national hero or the oldest national hero, didn't have the opportunities that Sir Grantley had, but certainly Bustle would have paved the way for people like Sir Grantley to make the contribution that he made.
You remember the last administration? They had, I don't remember which year it was, they took the said Heroes Day, and put all the focus then on prime ministers of Barbados. So you and they featured primarily the same Barrow. They had a couple of portraits, No, they have one portrait. One portrait is a barrel. Mm-hmm. Others are supposed to be on a hero's day. But you, a slew of...
Yeah, but because that was a political thing, Statsman.
But you should not be a political thing.
I know, but Statsman, come off it. Well, you can't expect it to not be. It's a political thing that caused Heroes Day to be on Grantley Adams' birthday.
But very few people...
So my point is that why Heroes Day isn't on our Barrow's birthday, you know? I mean, it's a political thing that caused us to have an Errol Barrow's birthday in the first place.
He has a separate birthday for himself.
I know, but the point I'm making is that don't expect that politics will not happen. But don't say that the fact that in previous years under the DLP, Heroes Day was celebrated with a picture of Errol Barrow alone diminishes the contribution that Sir Grantley has made.
When on Arthur, he introduced the Heroes Day, right?
Right.
And in his tenor, and Heroes Day, or during the whole month, you need to hear, okay, you celebrate a hero you talk about. All the heroes. You know, in the last 10 years, the administration, the DLP had, the last 10 years, the first year in 2008, they featured Barrett again.
All right. Well, you know, as I said, that's politics. Come off it, Statsman. That's politics. You must expect that from time to time, but I think that the central core of your argument, which is saying that we have not sufficiently recognized Sir Grantley, is an argument I have challenges with. I do agree with you regarding the contribution that he made, and I appreciate any opportunity that you take to restate that contribution. But as I said, I qualify it to the extent that I don't like this idea of saying my hero is better than your hero. And I do appreciate that the political processes from time to time will drive a manifestation that is somewhat different, but it doesn't diminish the contribution that he has made. Anyhow, final word from you, because we're going to have to go.
Have a nice day.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Mr. Statsman. Good chatting with you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We'll be right back. Sorry about that. I thought we were taking a break. I misunderstood the hand signals that were covered. Okay. Apparently, I'm being told that quarantine is for suspected cases. Isolation is for confirmed cases. And that is the way the crisis is defined. I need to seek clarification. This is what WhatsApper is telling me. Whether it is mandatory at home or in a facility above, this is the definition that we are using. So I apologize if I misled anyone just now. I misunderstood it. Nonetheless, one would assume that, you know, whether it's quarantine or isolation, the fact that you have to lock yourself away, it is what it is. Regarding how Jamaica is performing, one has to examine the more than the positive cases per million. You also have to consider the percentage of positive cases to all cases tested. If your positive cases per million population is low, but 50% of your cases tested, 50% of your cases tested are positive, you probably have a higher level of untested contagion, which is an interesting perspective. It really is all about the testing and the quantity of testing that is being done. And certainly if you're doing higher levels of testing, you will have a higher rate. At the same time, however, in a place like Barbados, it is easier to do higher levels of testing because ultimately it's a smaller population to be tested. And what we have found is that the smaller, wealthier populations have been able to test more people than has been done regarding the larger populations where you have the United States, 300 million people. It's hard to test a significant number of that population. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Peter. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is my opinion. Everybody's got their own opinion. But, so I would tell you, before today, just know your previous caller, right? I had you wait at 2 in my books as a moderator.
Mm.
Now you're going to 10.
Okay.
You see the handling of the tax man just now?
Mm.
You was very fair. You didn't pick mistakes, and you gave the facts, right? Now, how could he say that people that come into the country would know more about Errol Barrow than Grantley Adams?
People that come to the country?
Yes, he said that people that come into the country, they hear more. If there's one person, they hear more about his Errol Barrow than Grantley Adams.
You think that's differently.
Listen to my facts.
Mm-hmm.
All over the world, you got JFK, Eugene Charles, E.T. Joshua. You got, where you fill out immigration form to ask for the name of the airport you're going to. Where you put them? GIA, or Grantley Adams International. Everybody tell you who's Grantley Adams. Because it's a trend that most of the leaders will get this name at the airports. Correct or not correct?
I don't know. There's only one airport in Barbados, so I don't know that you say most of the leaders.
I said over the world, Peter. I just called Eugene Charles. I just called JFK. I just called a number of Caribbean islands that have the...
This is not Eugenia Charles. Where is Eugenia Charles Airport?
In Dominica, Grenada, Morris King. Peter, you could call some of the airports that got the leaders.
The airport in Dominica is Douglas Charles. And that's only recently.
The one in Grenada.
Grenada's Boris Bishop, again, only recently.
How recently, Peter?
Right. But I know, so you're saying that the significance is in the naming of the airport. That's your concern.
Yeah. Okay, that's one. Now, check the money. The biggest currency that we have is a $100 bill.
Who is a Grantley.
Okay. So how can he say that there's not enough being done for the man? Plus, like you said, he is mentioned and noted as a national hero, and then it's also on his birthday. How can you say it's not enough to highlight the man?
Yeah, but sir, what you have, Statsman has offered a view I disagree with as well, but he's offered a view.
Like I just said, I openly with everybody has their own opinion.
All right, no problem. Yeah, you disagree and you think that there's other information. Yeah, okay.
Let me go on to my next one. I got three, right? The second one. You know when the shoe on the other foot is when you see things differently, right? When you wear the shoe, you know, you see how it fits. But if it's too big, too small, too comfortable. Now, it's very open for a man that is a vegan and you are love for animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. People should have love for pets and animals to the extent.
People should have?
Love for pets.
Right.
For more. Mm-hmm. If you make your business, take an animal, make it into your pet. You should love it and care for it. Mm-hmm. Not make it starve and suffer. To the extent, animals as well. Whereas, now in the world, if you've got monkeys, destroy your crop. Every single time you plant crops, you got cassavas, you got sweet potatoes, you got yams. There's 6 month crop. At the end of 4 or 5 months, monkeys come and
dig up. Monkeys just eat cassava?
Anything, Peter.
They eat cassava?
They dig up the cassava, they break off the top.
This is the first I heard about monkeys eating cassava.
Well, whether they eat it or not, they break off the tops and stop your crops from growing. Mm-hmm. So even if they may eat it, they stop the crops from growing for you to get the food, right?
All
right.
Uh-huh.
So what's up? But everyone shake off, everyone shake, don't everything off the tree. If you have this problem, are we as human beings suggesting that should not have cruelty to animals and just allow monkeys to come into our domain?
Yeah, but sir, I got a problem with that analysis. What is wrong with that analysis you've just given?
A monkey is stopping humans from getting...
Sir, what is wrong with the analysis that you have given in terms of what I said earlier today? And I said, I put my position on the table quite clearly. There are circumstances in which monkeys will need to be destroyed. Because, as I told you, there are two types of animal rights people. I am not in the category of persons that say you should never destroy an animal. An animal should never have to be euthanized or put to sleep. I'm not in that category. And I'm saying to you that there is no doubt in my mind that the monkey population is a challenge. The problem, however, is that if you want to destroy a monkey or if you want to euthanize a monkey, there are ways in which you can do it that are not inhumane. You get my point?
From somewhat.
No, because when you come on the program and you say that it is about us being able to eat, it is about us preserving our right to eat, and it's about monkeys taking away, it doesn't justify animal cruelty. And I think that you create confusion in people's minds as though I am saying to you that in order to not be cruel to monkeys, you can't kill them, A, or B, you have to let them eat all your vegetables. And I'm not suggesting that by any far stretch of the imagination. I think that we can have a coexistence. We have a problem with the monkey population in Barbados, where monkeys have no natural predators, and as a result, the population has grown and grown and grown, and they have become a nuisance. The question is, how do you deal with a nuisance in a humane way?
Exactly.
So wrap your mind around that instead of presenting this misleading argument that I am suggesting to you that is either us or them eating. And that animal cruelty means that we should allow them to eat all of our crops. That's not my position.
No, please, I never said that was your
right. So I'm saying, but tell me then how, if you want to advance the argument, tell me how can you deal with this problem of monkeys being a nuisance? How can you deal with this problem of monkeys in a humane way? What are your
kill
thoughts?
Kill them wherever you see them.
And how are you going to kill them?
by the gun, by a trap, whatever.
No, but when you trap a monkey, how are you going to trap a monkey?
You put a banana in the cage instead of a trap and trap.
And then when you get them in the cage, how are you going to kill them?
You dispose of them without being too media. So nobody will know what you do with the monkey.
No. That's the problem. So you're saying that if nobody finds out, it means it's not cruel?
Not find out. If it has no media coverage, you won't know. What you don't know, if a man is proven guilty...
I am uncomfortable with this conversation. So let's move on to the next point. Because you speaking in a way that I find most disturbing. If you kill a human being and nobody don't know, are you still not a murderer?
Of course.
So what exactly is the point? We have laws in Barbados that speak to animal cruelty. And you're saying that the best way to subvert those laws is to make sure that nobody don't know?
Peter, killing a monkey or animal is different from killing a human.
No, sir, it is against the law. Sir, killing a monkey is not the issue. The issue is the manner in which you do it, and it's against the law.
So why is it that they don't highlight the way in which you kill monkeys?
All right, sir, let's move on to the next point. Because your comments are disturbing me no end, honestly. What's the next point, sir?
Next point, Peter. Because I realize that on the program, when you get disturbed, you like to move on. But when you disturb,
yeah, I know, I do. Because either I can move on, we can move on altogether.
No, you got to be fair as a moderator, Peter.
And imagine me fair as a moderator. Sir, let me don't deal with my style of moderator. No, move on to the next point, please. Are we going to move off the program altogether? Joy Springer from GAS has messaged me and she said, Peter, self or home quarantine is imposed when you are not sick but may have come into contact with someone who is COVID-19 positive. You're confined to your home for 14 days and you are monitored by public health officers. The Ministry of Health and Wellness may also determine that you spend those 14 days at a medical or other facility. At the moment, anyone arriving in Barbados must quarantine at a government facility for 14 days. Isolation, however, occurs when you have tested positive for COVID-19. You're isolated at a medical facility such as Harrison's Point or Enmore, and you remain there until you recover and you have received 2 negative tests for COVID-19. Hope this has provided some clarity. Enjoy. Thank you very much. You have provided considerable clarity regarding this issue. So the reality is that self-quarantine is the least restrictive, while isolation is the more restrictive. And as it stands now, self-quarantine is the least restrictive of the two. If you come into Barbados, you're monitored by public health official for 14 days. The isolation, however, is the secondary one, which occurs when you have tested positive for COVID-19 and you are in a medical facility.